Section 1. Learn to be a detective. 10 important principles every aspiring detective needs to master. Chapter 1. Principle 1. Don't be a know-it-all. Jeffries and Wallace, Alan barked impatiently as the young officer scrambled to write our names on the crime scene entry log. Alan lifted the yellow tape and passed beneath it, crouching painfully from the stress he had to place on his bad knee. I'm getting too old for this, he said as he unbuttoned the coat of his suit. The middle of the night gets later every time they call us out. This was my first homicide scene, and I didn't want to make a fool of myself. I'd been working robberies for many years, but I had never been involved in a suspicious death investigation before. I was worried that my movements in the crime scene might contaminate it in some way. I took small, measured steps and followed Detective Alan Jeffries around like a puppy. Alan had been working in this detail for over 15 years. He was only a few years short of retirement. He was knowledgeable, opinionated, confident, and grumpy. I liked him a lot. We stood there for a moment and looked at the victim's body. She was lying partially naked on her bed, strangled. There was no sign of a struggle and no sign of forced entry into her condominium. Just a 46-year-old woman lying dead in a very unflattering position. My mind was racing as I tried to recall everything I had learned in the 2-week homicide school I recently attended. I knew there were important pieces of evidence that needed to be preserved and collected. My mind struggled to assess the quantity of data that presented itself at the scene. What was the relationship between the evidence and the killer? Could the scene be reconstructed to reveal his or her identity? Hey, wake up! Alan's tone shattered my thoughts. We got a killer to catch here. Go find me your husband. He's the guy we're looking for. What? Alan already had this figured out? He stood there, looking at me with a sense of impatience and disdain. He pointed to a framed picture toppled over on the nightstand. Our victim was in the loving embrace of a man who appeared to be her age. He then pointed to some men's clothing hanging on the right side of her closet. Several items appeared to be missing. I've been doing this for a long time, kid, Alan said as he opened his notebook. Stranger murders are pretty rare. That guy's probably her husband, and in my experience, spouses kill each other. Alan systematically pointed to a number of pieces of evidence and interpreted them in light of his proclamation. There was no forced entry. The victim didn't appear to have put up much of a fight. The picture had been knocked over on the nightstand. Men's clothing appeared to be missing from the closet. Alan saw all of this as confirmation of his theory. No reason to make it complicated, newbie. Most of the time, it's real simple. Find me the husband, and I'll show you the killer. As it turned out, it was a little more difficult than that. We didn't identify the suspect for another 3 months, and it turned out to be the victim's 25-year-old neighbor. He barely knew her, but managed to trick the victim into opening her door on the night he raped and killed her. She turned out to be single. The man in the photograph was her brother. He visited occasionally from overseas and kept some of his clothing in her closet. All of Alan's presuppositions were wrong, and his assumptions colored the way we were seeing the evidence. Alan's philosophy was hurting his methodology. We weren't following the evidence to see where it led. We had already decided where the evidence would lead, and we were simply looking for affirmation. Luckily, the truth prevailed. All of us hold presuppositions that can impact the way we see the world around us. I've learned to do my best to enter every investigation with my eyes and mind open to all reasonable possibilities. I try not to bite on any particular philosophy or theory until one emerges as the most rational, given the evidence. I've learned this the hard way. I've made more than my share of mistakes. There's one thing I know for sure, having worked both fresh and cold homicides. You simply cannot enter into an investigation with a philosophy that dictates the outcome. Objectivity is paramount. This is the first principle of detective work that each of us must learn. It sounds simple, but our presuppositions are sometimes hidden in a way that makes them hard to uncover and recognize. Spiritual presuppositions. When I was an atheist, I held many presuppositions that tainted the way I investigated the claims of Christianity. I was raised in the Star Trek generation, the original cast, mind you, by an atheist father who was a cop and detective for nearly 30 years before I got hired as a police officer. I was convinced by the growing secular culture that all of life's mysteries would eventually be explained by science, and I was committed to the notion that we would ultimately find a natural answer for everything we once thought to be supernatural. My early years as a homicide detective only amplified these presuppositions. After all, what would my partners think if I examined all the evidence in a difficult case and, after failing to identify a suspect,